So we all kind of knew that the name was going to be Knights, and then we all kind of knew that it was going to have an adjective describing said knights, whether it was going to be desert or silver or, in the end, golden. But what we didn't realize was that we would have a loss of Las in the final name of the Vegas team. Vegas.
Don't really
Golden
understand
Knights.
That one. Don't yeah, really understand weird, that right? one. Hey, what's the over-under on, someone tweeted this out yesterday, it's a good point. What's the over-under on when they drop the golden from the name?
First of all, good use of over-under on a Vegas question, sir.
Bingo!
And second of all, I don't know if they'll formally drop it. I mean, I guess the history tells us they will because the Devil Rays became the Rays, but I think that's because everybody in Florida thought it was the satanic in nature.
Golden Seals became the Seals.
The Seals, yeah. The Mighty Ducks became the Ducks. So in theory, there will be a change of coming at some point, but I think that by and large, I mean, right out of the gate, they're going to be the Knights, right?
Like I thought we were past the descriptor phase of sports teams. Have I missed that? Like describe them using a color, for example.
Right.
Were we past that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
even well established names. I mean, they're just the Jays, right? To you people up north.
Yeah, we just go to you. Man, listen, I know we earned it. I know the fans here can kind of be D-bags. I don't know when that happened. But, man, the Blue Jays have some type of, like, disgust in the mouths of Americans all over.
Well,
holy
I mean,
smokes.
My God, he flipped his bat. I mean, disrespect.
And that guy that threw the beer, I mean, come on. What are you thinking?
But luckily, you guys have, like, you know, like CSI Toronto was on the case, and they were able to pinpoint the location of the beer chucker.
Eugene Melnick, forensic investigation.
That's right.
That was, I think we all did. That was cringeworthy yesterday. The whole presentation. I felt awful for Bill Foley, who, this is his big moment, right? One of the big moments. Expansion draft's gonna be another one. This is the one big moment for this Knights team. You know, the unveiling, there's been so much building up. They've managed to keep it a secret. Holy smokes, good for them.
Like, yeah, that was amazing.
Keep the logo, keep the name, keep everybody guessing. Even though every now and then Bill Foley would leave like these little Hansel and Gretel trail of clues as to what it may mean. And to have it, and listen, I understand that I am not speaking from a position of strength considering the podcast that I am on, but then to have it suffer at the hands of a technical difficulty just as it was getting warmed up, was cringeworthy. And did you see the best line, this lets you know how livid the owner is. Did you see what he said at the end of it?
No, what did he say?
Quote, I tweeted out the quote, "We won't screw up the first game like we screwed up the video." Bill Foley,
man.
About the unveiling.
Yeah, it's never a good sign. Oof. when you're putting out famed local warm-up comedian Gary Bettman to fill time while you figure out.
That was tough.
It's interesting, by the way. By the way,
Gary's got the Pat line now down too when he gets booed. Oh, I love the passion.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the passion.
But isn't it interesting though, dude, that like, you know, the last time that we saw a new team was Jets 2.0, and they broke tradition. They cheered Bettman because he gave them back a team. Yeah. It's funny, in Vegas, it's like
already.
We've earned the right. Our $500 million entry fee pays for the right to now boo you too.
I don't get that. Like, where does the venom come from, Vegas fans, for Gary Bettman?
Well, I mean, they're all
I can understand various NHL markets being pissed off at the lockouts. I understand that. Mm-hmm. I get it. But Vegas, like Winnipeg, made sense to me. Hey, got you your team back.
Yeah.
Right. But Vegas, like, really. Yeah, are you just like a bunch of trained seals? What has he done to you? Like, if you're a Las Vegas hockey fan, what has Gary Bettman done to you other than give you a hockey team?
What has Gary Bettman done for you other than lobby hard to get Vegas through past skeptical ownership and then help create an expansion draft which is going to game the system and give you a pretty decent team out of the gate?
Even before that, take the awards show out of the hockey hotbed of Toronto, where they would shut down Yonge Street for the red carpet. Okay, Yonge Street is, for those who don't know, is the main street in Toronto. It would shut down so they could have the red carpet down the main street for the NHL awards. They took it out of there and put it in Las Vegas to chum the waters for a future expansion team.
Yeah, but in fairness, they used to hold it at the Palms, which is so far off the strip. It's cool. It's cool though to watch. I understand that all the Vegas casinos on the strip like had the logo up on their marquees last night. Like it's there was something. I mean, listen, technical difficulties aside, and weird showmanship aside, and awkward moments aside, which are all very Vegas. I mean, that was less the David Copperfield extravaganza, and more the all you can eat $20 buffet with the weird looking lobster claws. That was definitely more that Vegas last night. All that aside, it was cool to see this thing finally come to fruition. It was cool to see this team finally get a name and an identity so we can stop calling it the, you know, Las Vegas NHL team. The logo itself is awesome. I love it. Isn't that cool?
You know why you love it?
Why? Because it looks like Boba Fett?
That too. But also uses negative space the way the Hartford Whalers logo does.
Yeah, it does.
That's what it does.
Yeah.
It's okay. That. I mean, I love what the London Knights have done with their motif, like with their theme, with their Knights theme. The only thing I don't like about the Knights is, God, this is like the minutiae. Man, you got up early to hear me talk like this. Here's what I don't like about the London Knights logo.
Please.
The Knight is facing the wrong way.
What do you mean he's facing the wrong way?
The Knight is facing right. And,
this is a political statement. I completely agree.
Donald Trump and Russian hackers. The Knight is facing right, and so all the attention is drawn from the left side of the jersey to the right side of the jersey. But in North America, our eyes are trained by way of reading to go left to right, so it's awkward to the eyes. Mm-hmm. That's what I was always taught about when you're putting together a magazine. You always want to sort of draw things to the middle of the, like to the spine. You don't want to draw, and when you're on the right page, you want to lead it to the next page because your eyes go left to right. So you don't want to put it across the way your eyes look, which is left to right in North America. Anyway,
right.
But that is the tiniest, tiniest bit of minutia. And I know you're used to this on this podcast. But other than that, like, I love the way the London Knights have done it. Vegas Knights it's okay.
No, it's great. The V
The
negative space of the V is awesome. The V itself is a really cool font. It kind of looks like an arrowhead.
I saw that logo. I just think V is for Vendetta.
Damn. That's right. Joey Vendetta.
And I got no problem with that. I love it. I love that.
It's not for Joey Vendetta.
No.
No. I'm
not
happy about that. That means I can go see the Vegas team
without getting threatened,
yeah.
Without getting threatened, yeah. That's a real professional broadcaster.
That's right. Yeah, I like it because
threaten a colleague.
I like it because it's an old school gladiator helmet. It just looks cool, man. I'm digging it. Like listen, you have to get past the name. I think if you can get past the name, if this was a team that played somewhere else, I think people would be all about the logo. They'd be all about the name. They'd be fine with it. The problem is that it's Vegas, and we know going forward.
How so?
Well, I'll tell you why, because we know going forward that we're going to have to call this team the Knights, right? Yeah. When the Knights would be where if you had a chance to name this team anything associated with Las Vegas and or the American Southwest and or the American Southwest Desert, Knights maybe cracks the top 75. Like,
yeah,
that's the problem that I think people had with the name last night was that, like, you still had people that didn't understand the dynamic of this thing. I still had people in my mentions last night being like, it should have been the Aces. I'm like, that's a great idea. Why didn't they think of that? Oh, that's right, because the NHL won't let them call them the Aces.
Bingo. They want to stay away from gambling. All the gambling. We'll put a team in Vegas, but ignore the gambling. Okay. But that's a West Point thing. That's all. If you know Bill Foley and his West Point background, then it makes sense to you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it was. Listen, man, dude paid $500 million. He can call it whatever the hell he wants. His sword to die on if it doesn't work.
Dropping of loss from it is weird. It's kind of like
I don't understand that. Okay, explain this
Devil,
one to me.
Jersey Devils.
Explain this to me. I don't get that.
Well, I imagine it's a reaction to Trump's America where you don't want to kind of have any kind of Hispanic connotation to your name.
Oh, Jesus. It's kind of worked for the Los Angeles Kings.
Nope. I'm sorry. Nope. They are now the Angeles Kings. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, I had no idea. Oh, yep, congratulations on that name change.
Yep. Uh-huh. That's right. Okay. No, I don't get. I mean, I think maybe Vegas is getting right to the point. I mean, people are going to call it Vegas anyway, right? We call it Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Go to. I mean, Vegas is sort of the de facto shorthand name anyway. So maybe they're just cutting to the chase.
But this is a smack of
trademark, maybe. Like maybe everybody else.
Yep, I believe that. Sure.
Snatched up the Las Vegas Golden Knights stuff, and they're like, "Swerve! It's actually Vegas. Bye, bitches."
It does feel like that too. There's definitely that vibe. There's a strong West Point vibe about it, which you understand. So now Vegas, Florida games will have a little undercurrent of, you know, who can genuflect towards the military more.
Right. Yeah. By the way, how frustrating are those games going to be where during every stoppage in play, they're honoring a member of the military in the crowd?
Oh my God.
And now here's our 83rd member of the military we're honoring tonight. By the way, most of the people in that crowd will be former military in those games. There's only be 300 people there.
Just get it over with and dress the Zamboni up like a tank and call it a day. You know it's what you want to do. Just trying to figure out a way to do it and still have some corporate branding on it so it's not too tacky.
Tonight's ice resurfacing is sponsored by Northrop Grumman. The thing about the logo that I like is that it's fierce looking, it's awesome, and it increases the chances that we're going to have another one of those moments like we had in Ottawa where a man dresses a knight, tries to address the crowd.
Oh my God, oh my God.
And his mic cuts out.
Oh no.
A guy dressed as a knight is walking through the full battalion of players onto the ice.
Oh no. Oh no. Please, whatever you do, lost from the past.
Hey guys. And Unite. But I also like the secondary logo, which if you've seen it, it takes the starburst from the famous Welcome to Las Vegas sign and has two swords going through it. Again, a reference, I'm sure, to the military. But it kind of, if you look at it, looks like the swords are murdering the Jets 2.0 logo, which is pretty great.
I never thought of that.
It's immediately starting the rivalry with the Canadian team that has already beef with the American Southwest.
Even though it's already good, it's just going to be a rival already for Arizona.
Right. Hey, look, I wish it was 1,000 different names that weren't Knights. I would have preferred Scorpions. I would have preferred a lot of names.
That's cool. Scorpions.
If you're gonna go Knights, I still would have gone Desert. But if you're gonna go Knights. And this is your logo. I'm cool with it. I'm going to buy the jersey. I pretty much am going to buy the jersey, I think. I'm all right with it.
I'm not there yet. But then again, the bar has been set pretty high for me with London Knights and how they use it.
Yeah.
That to me is like the Cadillac of how you use Knights.
It's a great...
I could just do without all the nonsense about, the defenders of justice and democracy. And it's all that Panthers rebranding stuff, right? Like, who can be the bigger defender of everything? Oh, God, good luck. Just play hockey, you know what? Hey, we're good on our power play. Mm-hmm. Why does that have to be like a metaphor for something else?
Foley said, the Vegas Golden Knights team name and logo embody this great city and the mission of our team. When people see it, we want them to say, these guys never give up. These guys are going to win. Now, here's my question about that.
Hang on. How many Stanley Cups have the Pittsburgh Penguins won?
Well, penguins are a majestic animal, sir, and one of the great killers in nature, an underrated killer. Swift and fast and waddling. but here's the thing: like, if you're gonna tell me that this logo and this team name embodies what Vegas is, which is
not even close,
these guys never give up. These guys are going to win. Let me break that down for you.
That's a sucker one of the problems. At the table.
One of the problems with Vegas is never knowing to walk away. There's literally a song about it called Gambler.
Sure, you have your mortgage papers on the table right now, but don't quit. Don't ever stop. No. We're not done fleecing you yet. Please leave all of your money and your pants at the table.
Just remember that when like Foley hands out like, you know, 5 over 5 for Thomas Vandek next summer. And they're like, what are you doing? Shouldn't you be taking this a little bit more slowly? And he's like, we're going to win. We never give up. We're the Knights.
is going to hire Peter Forsberg for another comeback. This man will never quit.
He's not a quitter either. He's Vegas incarnate.
I don't care that there's not a hockey boot in this on the earth that can fit Peter Forsberg's foot at this point. But he never gives up, and that's why he's a knight.
Hey, it's fine. I'm so excited that there is a team in Vegas for various reasons. I could hear the excitement in the voice of my friend Frank Saravelli last night as he called me from Vegas, and he's super excited there's a team in Vegas. Yeah. Everybody's excited there's a team in Vegas.
Yeah, especially lawyers are very excited.
Let me ask you this about Vegas, because I've seen other networks who apparently can't spend the time kind of creating the Olympic roster projections that they used to do, now creating expansion team projections instead. Mm-hmm. Let me preface this by saying there's probably nothing dumber than doing an expansion draft projection in November, a scant 4 months away from a trade deadline that, frankly, is going to reshape every team in the league, right?
Yep.
Because like they're all going to react to the expansion draft that's coming up, and they're going to make all these changes to maybe make sure they don't have to expose these guys, but according to one projection, the goaltending battery next year could be Marc-Andre Fleury and Eddie Lack. You could have Petrovic from Florida, Orlov from the Capitals, who I think is definitely going to be exposed. Yep. Spezza, Kevin Klein. I mean, I think I've long said that I think that they're going to have great goaltending.
Yep.
The defense is going to be pretty good because they're going to get like the fourth best guy from at least six good teams.
Yep.
But like, according to this projection, like Matthew Perreault's your top center, Silverberg's your top line winger. You got
that's the interesting one to me in the expansion draft is what does Anaheim do?
Because they are way overloaded. Yeah,
that's
you're
going to
pull someone really good from that team, and I'm surprised that like they believe that, at least in this projection, that it would be a winger instead of being a defenseman. Because to me, the defense is where you're going to look for on this team. To pluck somebody from.
Yeah. And that's why one of them will probably be gone by the time trade deadline rolls around.
That's true.
You know what all that is? And listen, I live in it every single day. And, you know, I put out draft rankings every single month. And do, you know, endless, you know, columns on, you know, on prospects and spend endless airtime on prospects. I think all that expansion draft stuff is kind of important for the marketing of the expansion draft.
Yeah, it could be.
Like, I honestly think that should be a much bigger deal than we're making it right now.
Well, I mean, they're
populating
an
entire new team.
But they're like, actively trying to make it not marketable by putting it all behind closed doors.
Don't do that.
But they are.
You can make this a great TV event. Really.
Attention,
anyone at our shop, please. Anyone at our shop, let's see how you can turn this into a TV event. You're creating a new team out of dust. How is that? Just to like sort of come out from behind a curtain, you know, with 23 names. Here we go. And here's the team. No, man, you want to see them pick them. You want to see, you know, McPhee and McCrimmon sitting there at the table making those choices. Oh, you know what would be best? How about this for a visual? This goes back to Memphis Wrestling. Jerry Lawler, Terry Funk.
Nice.
It's an empty arena, mm-hmm. 31 tables, just like the draft. And only Las Vegas is sitting there.
Wow. You see, you got me excited.
They're making their picks from inside the rink in Vegas.
When you said Terry Funk and tables, you got me really excited because I like the idea of, you know, every time they make a pick, someone gets put through a table.
ECW styles.
That's right.
Oh, my God, Raven.
I'm looking at the, Evenflow, mm-hmm. the embodiment of grunge.
Yeah.
I was looking at the free agent list yesterday trying to, you know, fantasy cast who they will inevitably overpay to make a splash next summer. Do you think Iggy would play a year in Vegas?
Yeah.
Cuz that would be one.
Do they pay in money? Then yeah.
If he still wants to play and he's kind of slowed down to a crawl now a little bit, like, wouldn't that be the kind of guy that they'd sign for one season? To be the face of the franchise. And goddamn, what a great ambassador for the franchise, no less.
Totally
right?
Great. He'd be awesome.
I'm fantasy casting Jerome McGinley with the Golden Knights.
This would be the whopper. Everyone thinks that Shane Doan is done after this year. Does he have the Mike Modano Minnesota, 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 Dallas, 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 Detroit on his hockey DB?
I don't know.
Does he do Winnipeg, Phoenix, 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 Arizona, 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 Las Vegas?
It would keep him close to family.
Now, and if you want to establish that as your legit rivalry, oh my God, you take Shane Doan?
This sounds very much like the, Panthers should sign Stamkos theory that we had. Trying to establish a rivalry that may not be ready to be a rivalry or something. And by the way, he is not the Whopper, sir. You know who the Whopper is. The Whopper 68 down in Florida.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
That's the Whopper. God, could you imagine? And by the way,
we all think it's gonna happen eventually, don't we?
I think it'd be, yeah, and that's the scary part. It could be when he's like 47. But I mean, you would sell roughly, I mean, you might repay the franchise fee with the amount of Jager Vegas jerseys you'd sell were he to go there. That's how much money you'd make off these slaves.
And he's done at the end. He just signed the 1-year deal with Florida, right? He's done at the end of this year. Just a 1-year $4 mil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's one. I could see it. I think we all could. Unless, I mean, we all want to make the Jager association because of everything that's happened in his life, but.
Oh, you mean the incessant gambling and massive debt that he ran up because of said gambling? Yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Also, how he keeps playing in places that are, you know, tax friendly and cost of living friendly in the United States.
Yeah, there is that. And you're just going to need a place to pay it. I still think the most interesting thing about Vegas as it approaches the expansion draft phase of the conversation is the deals that GMs make with George McPhee to not touch certain guys.
Yeah. Especially
the big one. We talked about this on the last podcast. I'm going to revisit it, but that to me is the juicy fruit right there.
Especially the goaltenders.
And especially Pittsburgh.
You have to expose one, yeah.
George, what can I give you that'll make you look the other way on Fleury?
I talked to somebody off the record the other day there seems to be a thought that teams are going to ratchet up their offers for Fleury before the trade deadline, but I talked to somebody off the record the other day who said that they're convinced that he's going to be a Penguin through the year. And it makes sense if you think about the fact that that's a team that's poised to win again, and why would you cripple yourself in the between the pipes by trying to go with Matt Murray and goalie X versus Matt Murray and Marc-Andre Fleury?
Think about this. The general manager is Jim Rutherford. Jim Rutherford's won the Stanley Cup twice. One in 2006 because he had two goalies. It started off with Ward. It started off with Gerber. It ended up with Ward. Two goalies in Pittsburgh the last time he won the Stanley Cup, which was last year, and it started out with Fleury and ended up Matt Murray.
And also because I have a bowl of butterscotches on my desk, and the players come in and take a butterscotch while they talk to me.
Good Lord.
Guy wins the cup. Genius. And we're still making the... Although, that's one of my favorite days in the podcast of all time, when he got hired and we did the whole bit about how he was... What? Manage who?
What?
Yes, I generally like the Penguins. Why? Wait, manage? Yes, I manage to see him now and again. Who?
Pierre LaRouche still play on that team? Which Shutt was it? Was it Rod Shutt or Steve Shutt they got in that trade?
Well, wait a second. What happened to Freddie Shiro's boy? Oh, really?
What happened to Freddie Shiro's boy? Okay, that's the showstopper. Hang on. take a quick little break here.
What happened to Freddie Shiro's boy?
The only reason that you'd think that they would move they would move Fleury. Thank you. The only reason that you'd think that they would move Fleury would be to create space to maybe address a need or two. But that would then again, like you said, create an even bigger need, which is can you find a goal? Like, because then if Murray's hurt, then who cares if you go out and get another player in Fleury's salary spot? Because you're basically screwed. Because then you're in Jeff Zatkoff territory again.
Well, I don't know, man. Tristan Jarry's a nice little goaltender too.
Sure, but I don't think he's.
No. I know what you mean.
Way too much invested in that team.
Unless Dallas throws something at you that completely knocks your socks off, like completely, or Winnipeg, then if you're Jim Rutherford, just ride through with Fleury, and then
would you do with George McPhee? Now it would take Fleury obviously maybe agreeing to go there. We don't know what his trade protection really is at this point. But
I think it's 15 teams, 12 teams.
Would you take Elliott back? from Calgary if they made that deal? Would that be enough security for you if you were Pittsburgh? Go Murray Elliott?
Not the way he started off the season.
Yeah.
With overextending himself the way he plays. And, man, he ends up... I've never seen Brian Elliott end up on his stomach, like Luongo style, more than I have this year.
Yeah.
We saw it again the other night against the Sabres. Was it the fourth goal? Again, like, way overextending himself. Falling down. Luongo's always the best on the belly flop in the NHL. But we're starting to see Elliott do the same thing, too.
It's so frustrating.
That's scary.
That seemed like a smart little decision. But, I mean, it was a smart little decision in the sense that it was a goalie that you thought could improve the position, but it was also a goalie that they could cut bait with if it didn't work. And so it's not working, and to Calgary's credit, they can just walk away, right, after the season.
Yeah.
So I mean,
he's done.
Yeah. So I mean, it's bad in the sense that it hasn't worked, but it's okay in the sense that you can get away from it. Which brings us to the other big story from Tuesday: Brent Burns signing 8-over-8 to stay with the San Jose Sharks. Now, I think this is a genius. Listen, I've been as critical of Doug Wilson as anybody because of a lot of reasons. You know, because of the contracts he's handed out that have handcuffed the team, and then complaining about that said handcuffing. But you got to give the man credit for a couple things. You got to give him credit for creating a roster where you can give Brent Burns 8-over-8, and it's not going to kill your cap because your core is locked up for a little bit, and because you don't have a lot of other huge contracts coming down the pike outside of Hurdle and Vlasic.
Vlasic's so the one.
Yeah, Vlasic's the one, and Burns, I mean, cited Vlasic as being one like a guy that kept him there, so you got to get Vlasic done. But other than that, I mean, you're going to be top heavy in a Penguins way, but maybe not completely crippled as far as the rest of your lineup goes. And the other thing you got to give him credit for is that he, as a guy, had a reputation of giving out five-year contracts, yep, contracts, yep, and then he went eight, and he had to go eight with a guy who is a top five defenseman in this league right now, and he had to go eight because somebody else would have given him seven, and I give him credit for that. And you know, I also give him ultimately the most credit to kind of pivot off the Elliott conversation we just had for getting out of a no move clause with him. And so the biggest fear we all have on this contract is the age. 31 years old, signing an 8-year extension, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, he's going to get to a certain point where that contract's going to look awful, and then you don't even need a no move. Like, oh, right, yeah, we could just trade him if it doesn't work. Well, you think other teams don't have game center?
Well, they...
Think other teams don't have scouts? Think other teams don't watch the Sharks?
But, Jeffy, other teams also have cap-friendly, too. And that's the point, is that there's always... We have now know in this league that there is always going to be someone looking to take on a contract, and there's going to be ways for you to get rid of a contract. Ask Dan Bowman about it.
It might cost you having
to remedy yourself by trading away a good young player, but you can get that contract off your books. But you can't do it if he's got a no move. So that's where I give him credit.
Yeah, and that's completely fair. My question out of all of it is, and you brought it up early, if Brent Burns is 8, what's Mark Edvard Vlasic? Well, let me ask you right now, who's a better defenseman?
Vlasic's a better defenseman, but
Vlasic's a better defenseman. Yeah, so over to you, Doug Wilson. If Burns is 8, what's Vlasic? He's got one more year at 4.25.
But isn't this
what's his bump?
But isn't this essentially like asking who's a more complete player and who's the better home run hitter? Like, to me, Burns is a different kind of elite in the sense that he is the last 2 years offensively for him are like Erik Karlsson numbers, right? So it's like, he gets that money because offensive defensemen like him get that money. Bufflin got that money. Mm-hmm. Subban got more than that money. Vlasic won't get that. He just won't.
Because he's not that flashy guy. For the same reason why Aaron Ekblad got his money and Hampus Lindholm got his.
Right.
Where I think rightly you can make the point that Hampus Lindholm's a better defenseman right now.
Like the highest paid, most complete defenseman. Well, I throw Weber out. Because that was an offer sheet. Ryan Suter, $9 million. Again, that was a free agent thing. That was a free agent derby thing. I mean, Letang makes 7.2. Fanuf makes 7. Doughty makes 7. So 7 for Doughty. Like, Vlasic will get slotted in at like 7-5, but I think I don't think he's going to make 8.
But he's a better defenseman than Burns.
He's a much better defenseman than Burns. Come on.
Like, by just about outside of points, by every single standard, Mark Edward Vlasic is a better defenseman than Brent Burns.
That's one of those deals where
he's going to make more?
No. That's one of those deals where he better really like San Jose. Because somebody going, I mean, like, could you imagine?
Yeah, right?
Who's going to take a run of that guy?
He's outstanding. Yeah.
He is.
Well, what do you think? July 1st, they can open up negotiations with him.
Separate from all that, what did you make of the Burns deal? As a hockey deal?
You know, just like the Lucic deal, at a point it's going to look really bad. And at a point, this Burns deal is going to look really bad for the San Jose Sharks. It doesn't right now. And this is, listen, someone was going to give it to him. And I know this is what got, you know, you mentioned and kind of still snicker at the Dion Phaneuf signing, and this type of vibe gets you in that kind of hot water. But someone was going to do it. And if you want the player for right now, this is the way that negotiations are done. If you want this guy for the next few years at this price tag, where he's still at the height of the quality of play that he hasn't seen before in the NHL, you got to tack on some years that are going to be very questionable for your franchise.
But like you said, I mean, at the outset, though, this team still has a window.
Totally.
May I add, a team that has never won still has a window. Yep. And you gotta keep, the only reason you have, one of the main reasons you have a window is because of Brent Burns. So you gotta take, he ain't signing for 5. It's pretty obvious from that contract yesterday.
Nope. But again, same question. If Burns is 8, what of Vlasic? Cause he's a better defenseman. Every single standard outside of points.
Hang on here for 1 second.
What are you doing?
San Jose Sharks. They're in the West, right?
Okay. Yeah, they are in the West, which is now the weaker conference, I think it's safe to say, over the past couple of seasons.
4.25 right now for Vlasic, and he's going to be about 31 when his contract's up. He needs a new deal for after 2018. So 4.25 to 7.5, get her done.
How much are you saying? 7.5?
Yeah. And your expectation, see, that's the other genius part of this too for Wilson. Like, Marlowe coming off the books basically pays for most of Burns' contract, cap-wise, next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jumbo's probably done by 2018, right? Maybe. Mm-hmm. And so his money comes off the books, and then you pay for Vlasic's deal. You're moving around. Doug Wilson's like just moving around money. Just moving it around.
Okay, we got to hustle because I'm starring in a show called Get the Kids to School in about 10
it's
minutes.
True.
Actually, 5 minutes. Holy smokes, look at the time.
Yeah, it is.
A couple of things I want to get your thoughts on.
Please, yeah.
From the last couple of nights. Let's see. Where should we begin? Oh, I loved your piece, by the way, on the NHL Network.
Thank you, man. I had a really fun time there. In my time at Sportsnet, there's a certain amount of camaraderie that I see there that I also see at NHL Network. But the big difference, like I said in that piece, is the time that they have. My God.
Totally.
They just can sit there and debate things and talk about things and demonstrate things. And it's just, it's so nice to just slow down once in a while and not just hot take it all the time.
And just like, hurry up, get the break, hurry up, hit your pose, hurry up, get the next topic, move. Here's the drag for me. We don't get it in Canada. I can't see this version of NHL Network. Everyone that I talk to says, man, NHL Network is killing it. I wouldn't know. I can't see it. We don't have, it's not available up here. You know, I was talking to Lawton about this a while ago, and he's like, oh man, it's really good. Like, you're doing some really good stuff. And reading your piece, I'm jealous as hell because I don't get a chance to watch it. And it sounds great. Sounds like they're doing like great things with the NHL Network, and good for them. And to your point about having time, yes, hallelujah, absolutely. Like, I would love to be able to do more long form stuff on Sportsnet. You just can't.
Yeah.
You don't have the time to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so good job.
I wonder if they don't have it on up there because they just figure that it's going to get murdered by Sportsnet and TSN as far as coverage goes.
Yeah,
like, what's the point of having it up there?
I think the feeling is that is already being serviced. But I mean, when we had it up here, it was always on in my house. I always had at least, you know, one TV up with NHL Network, even just to watch old games. You know, even just to throw on like wallpaper in the background. I always had it on. Always. Yeah. I think the feeling in Canada is that that market is already being serviced between what we're doing and what TSN is doing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was a fun piece to do, and the fact that they do it in a corner of the MLB Network studios is kind of fun. If you want to talk about things from recent games, you see the Hickey goal last night in the shootout between the Ducks and the Islanders?
I sure did. Oh,
what'd you make of that?
It's a bad. Push the pad.
He pushed the pad. Not only did he push the pad, and this was probably like incidental. He then hooked his skate hooked Bernier's glove, further spinning him into the net. I'm they're looking at that damn thing in that stupid Nintendo DS. They look at every play on, and they're like looking at it and they're looking at it. And I'm it's one of those reviews where you're like looking at it and looking at it. You're like, What are they trying to figure out? Like, we've all figured it out. Like, it's clearly an illegal goal. What are they seeing? And then, like, they call it a good goal, and the NHL comes out with the explanation, and you're like, the goalie interference happened after the goal scored. I'm like, nah, you're wrong. Like, the puck goal scored because he pushed the guy into the net with his stick.
Yeah, that's a goalie pad. It's not a pin cushion. Like, I don't know. I'm not buying that one.
Yeah, I'm not
buying
it either.
The big one going into that one, too, is like, holy smokes, Andrew Ladd is on the fourth line.
Well, that's been the big one for a couple weeks now. I mean, that is. But again, like, that's why for all the fire Cappy stuff that's going on at the Barclays Center these days, like, we've ad nauseum talked about how I think Capuano's the guy you fire before you bring in the guy that really gets you where you need to go. But in his defense, and he made mention of it earlier this month, They let Nielsen and Okposo walk and did nothing to replace them. That's worked. Now they made an attempt with Andrew Ladd. But Chimera's nowhere in the league of being Franz Nielsen, right?
I know
he's real fast,
big guy,
he's a fourth liner.
I know,
but the Ladd thing has been just a Titanic bust. Like, were it not for Philip Forsberg's goal total right now, maybe the biggest disappointment in the league. But
at least Forsberg was putting up points.
That's true.
He still has the just the one goal, I think.
He's got one goal.
Just
crazy.
One, yeah.
But that's the thing, man. Like, you know, you bring in a guy to play with Tavares, and then Tavares ends up playing with Clutterbuck, and you're like, oh my god, what the hell happened here? So I feel for Capuano on that end. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
I wanted to mention Nathan Beaulieu, and I know I bang the drum about this one all the time, but watching him, you know, take a puck on the neck yesterday, finish his shift, holy smokes, and then go off and not return and then end up going to hospital. This has always been the reason why I point at don't make the nets taller. Remember Larry Quinn in Buffalo brought out those nets during the lockout? Oh, the big bubble sort of in the corners to make the nets higher. The philosophy being, if everyone's going to play butterfly style and seal up the bottom of the net, shooters
that's
can
also
shoot at, so let's make
a
make
Mitch
the nets
Korn,
higher.
A Mitch Korn baby is also make the nets higher.
Oh, is it a Mitch Korn too? Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense with Mitch's background then. Anything we can do to discourage players from shooting high, we should do. And I know it sounds really macabre, and I hate myself every time I say this, but the way that the pucks are shot now, and everybody can shoot, someone's going to get maimed or die with one of these shots if you keep encouraging them the shots to go high.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make the nets higher. Don't give higher targets. And I watched Nathan Beaulieu yesterday and watched him go off, and I thought, oh, man, again, the same thing. Anything we can do to keep the puck lower, we should be doing.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point.
And you know what? And I watched Chris Neal fight. Right, we've watched Chris Neal. I'm thinking of watching the Ottawa game last night, and I'm watching Chris Neal. I watched him on the weekend as well. It reminded me of something that an ex-NHLer told me. This is not that long ago. Who said, you know, I came in the NHL and I would fight a ton and I would be like a real prick on the ice. And then I got traded a few times and I moved around to a few teams and I got to know more guys. And it got harder to do that because I knew everybody in the NHL. And he brought up the example of Chris Neal. And I said, well, look at Neal, man. Like, he's an older guy and he's still game to do it. And he goes, yeah, well, Neal hasn't moved around. Neal's been with the same team. He hasn't been teammates with everybody. I'd never thought about it from that point of view before. Like, once you start to move around, like, And I got to, you know, I'll rack my brain to try to figure out some examples of it. But can you think of a guy who was traded a ton of times and was still a prick to everybody out there?
And no, they kind of like move into fight with the, noble.
Fight with the same P&V in their jockstrap as Chris Neal.
No, you move into kind of noble sheriff territory like Sean Thornton, you know?
Yeah.
After you moved around a little bit. That's a really good point. I never thought about that.
I never thought about it until this one player told me too. And I was like, yeah, you know what? That's an excellent point. You move around a lot. You get to know a bunch of teammates. Oh, man, I was over at his wife's house for a barbecue and nice guys. I met the family. I met the kids. How do you throw punches in someone's face after you've played with their kids on the swings in the backyard?
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's but a not really Neil, good point. Man. I never thought about that. The same team.
Yeah. Never left his hometown.
He stayed in Ottawa. And that's angry. Why, in a lot of ways, he's still game to do it. Give it to him.
You know, to go back to
the time they hit 30 are like, screw this.
Real quick to go back to your don't make the Nets hire thing. Hang on to that theory, man, because if you can frame that as a player safety issue, then maybe they won't touch the Nets. Then they won't touch the Nets. Because you know anything that's a player safety issue is the last wall, between us and radical change in this league for the worse.
Yeah, I think they'd make them wider before they made them taller. Hopefully, sanity will prevail. I mean, the philosophy makes sense. Every goalie is a butterfly goalie. There's nothing in the bottom of the. There's nothing along the line anymore. It's gone. Right. Jonathan Quick seals it up faster than anybody in the NHL. Antti Niemi's great at sealing it up as well. Carey Price. But the philosophy being, okay, if you're taking away the low, we'll expose the high.
Yeah, that's
exposing
right.
The high is going to get someone killed.
I believe it was the great Michelle Obama who once said, "When they go low, we go high."
Yeah, not good for changing the size of the Nets.
Right, and not necessarily good for winning elections either, apparently, but there you go. All right, you need to go, I need to go. Listen, everybody out there listening to this, hopefully you're listening in your car on the way to wherever you're going here for Thanksgiving, or as they call it in Canada, American Thanksgiving.
That's right.
I want to thank
you, Greg, for making your way in to do this, because this is all because of my goofy schedule. So the only two people that have sacrificed for this are Greg and Sam.
Who's not Sam?
Me. I just wandered into my basement.
Sam, you're a peach for coming in this early too. But don't worry about it. It's fine. True. Getting the show done is getting the show done, and we're happy that we can still do the show and that people actually want to listen to it. These are things that we're all thankful for here on American Thanksgiving. And once again, let me reiterate, ladies and gentlemen, there are a few things in life that I tell you that you need to indulge yourself in, even if you're, watching a trim figure or whatever. Always crack a little quail egg on top of your salmon roe sushi, for example. Layer a little ginger on top and a dollop of wasabi. Stick it all in your mouth and sit back like you're in a heroin dream from Pulp Fiction. But here's what you need to do on Thanksgiving. Take some of that cold turkey. Drop a little salt on it. Toast up two slices of white bread. Now, what you're going to do next is...
Hang on, Greg. I have to go take the kids to school. You finish your sandwich soliloquy.
Go ahead.
And we'll talk at you next show.
Go. Warm up some stuffing, but not too warm. Just a little warm to let it kind of not be that cold brick of stuffing. Now you take the slightly warm stuffing. You put it on top of the cold turkey. You put it on all that on top of a piece of toasted white bread. You take the other slice of toasted white bread and you smear... just a little bit of mayonnaise on it. Not a lot. Not a whole bunch. Not so you can overtly taste it. Not a spackle. Maybe the mere suggestion of it. And then you put that on the other side of the bread. You put the bread on top of the stuffing. So, toasted white bread, smear of mayo, slightly warm stuffing, cold turkey with a little salt on it, toasted other piece of bread, squish, eat. But here's the thing. You can't be eating it on Friday. And you can't be eating it during the day on Thursday because you got the real turkey dinner, right? No, this has a gremlins-like rule where you got to eat it at 11 o'clock at night or later. If you eat it beforehand, you may want to just end yourself because you have all that pie in you. So 11 o'clock at night is enough digestive distance from dessert to experience the ultimate Thanksgiving leftover sandwich as you slip in deeper into your food coma, maybe watch the end of a football game, and feel great about life. To my Canadian friends, it's a short trip over the border. You can probably find someone's house. We're all very welcoming. Just knock on the door and say, hey, I want to have your food. And, you know, depending on what kind of house it is, you'll either be invited in or shot in the face. But that's America for you. An imperfect nation of imperfect people who all can't wait to gorge themselves this week. Good night. God bless. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Merrick. Thank you, Bill Foley, for giving us hopefully many golden nights from the Golden Knights. Bye. Thank you.